With the collapse of the Soviet Union in the last decades of the 20th century, there appeared to be only one superpower left in the world. After the tearing down of the Berlin Wall, the United States became the undisputed military, economic, and political heavyweight. But is there another superpower forming? Will the United States soon be challenged as the leader of the Western world? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
Many citizens of the United States are comfortable with a sense of invulnerability. The end of the Cold War has created a sort of emotional isolationism. The average person is more concerned with his or her job, the price of gas, and local school board activities than events unfolding on the world scene. Television news reflects people's interest and lack of worldview, dedicating very little time to covering happenings in Europe, Africa, or the Far East. The reality is that another superpower is forming on the European continent that will in the near future compete with the U.S. both economically and politically. The dream of a united Europe is an old one. The Roman Empire created a network of roads, a postal system, and economic cooperation, merging cultures and religions. For centuries, the concept of Pax Romana, a peaceful united empire enforced by Roman law, fired the imagination of many Europeans. The ancient Romans found that the strain of maintaining an empire stretching from Central Europe to North Africa, from Britain to India, eventually proved unmanageable, and Rome slowly fell into political, social, and economic decay, only to be conquered by Germanic invaders. In 476 AD, the Western Empire seemed to suffer a mortal wound, but the dream never completely died. There have been numerous attempts to reunite Europe's sundry peoples into one empire, many times by force of arms. Charlemagne, Napoleon, and in more recent times Adolf Hitler have tried to resurrect a united Europe. From the destruction and death of World War II rose the dream of a peaceful European unity, in spite of the division of the continent with the eastern half under Russian domination. After two world wars in 30 years, Europe was in shambles. Many venerable cities were bombed into rubble. The dead were counted in the tens of millions. Old institutions and organizations simply ceased to exist. What happened next, fueled by U.S. dollars supplied under the Marshall Plan, was nothing more than an economic miracle. Western Europe rebuilt and retooled its industries. Modernized from the ground up, in the 1950s, many of defeated Germany's factories began to outclass the factories of her United States benefactor. The old dream of a peaceful European Union became an organization known as the European Common Market. In the last half of the 20th century, the common market gave way to the European Union, a powerful alliance with old enemies like France and Germany at its center. The amount of international integration that has been achieved under the European Union is staggering. Sergio Romano reports for Time Magazine's European Edition, quote, "Europe has a single market, a single currency, a central bank. No member country can build an airport, decide on how much milk can be produced by national cows, or call something chocolate without consulting Brussels or conforming to the Commission's guidelines. No important merger or acquisition can proceed unless the EC Competition Commissioner has nodded his head," unquote. For all of its economic growth, Europe is facing new problems in the 21st century. The euro, the Union's currency, hasn't been as strong as many predicted, and for all of their marketing clout, the EC still plays second fiddle to the United States both politically and militarily. Sergio Romano continues, "Most federations in their formative years begin by tackling the problem of political institutions and leave money and the market to a later stage. The American Federal Reserve was created when the country already had a president, a parliament, a judiciary, an army, and a diplomatic corps. Europe has done exactly the opposite, and now has reached a stage where the amount of economic integration clashes with the political institutions. Many Eastern European nations clamor to join the Union, which some analysts say could balloon to almost 30 countries. Yet, there are those in the EU that believe that the Union isn't developing fast enough or flexing enough muscle in the world scene. There has even been discussion on forming a coalition within the Union led by France and Germany that would speed up political unity. David Palmer from the Good News Radio Canadian News Desk has been watching the situation in Europe. David, what are some of the current events that are playing out in the drama of European unity?
Truth is, Gary, there have been a number of events over the past several years that have contributed to the unfolding saga of a united Europe. Once the desire of Germany's defense minister, a man named Franz Josef Strauss, his book, The United States of Europe, has inspired several top European leaders to move in that direction. And now in a press conference earlier this year, German leaders insisted that an effort to enlarge the European Union remains on track. Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder told German ambassadors from around the world gathered in Berlin that Germany supports the speedy expansion of a European Union. With Germany in the throes of a national debate on how to combat a surge of neo-Nazi violence and anti-foreigner sentiment, statements on the question of EU expansion come at a sensitive time, especially the idea of going to the people in a referendum. Referendums have been taboo in Germany since Adolf Hitler used them to consolidate Nazi power in the 1930s. So in some ways, Germany is deeply torn. The political instincts of the government reflect a profound uneasiness with the United States and its new leadership. As one European magazine put it, "We are in a world increasingly resistant to one superpower. There is no second superpower, but there are several great powers. These great powers are in the process of cobbling together an alliance that, taken together, may not fully counterbalance the United States, but will serve to limit American freedom of action." So far, Gary, the European Union has set no entry dates, and the leading hopefuls would like to join by 2003. However, a leading German business group argues that the enlargement should be delayed at least until 2004 or 2006. Yet the desire to be independent from the U.S. with its own currency, its own military, its own security alliance is on the minds of many in Europe, and integration with several nations, including some from the Eastern Bloc, is part of that mix.
Thanks, David. Is this forming superpower mentioned in Bible prophecy? We're going to discuss this and other relevant questions with our guest, editor of World News and Prophecy, Darris McNeely, right after these messages.
The book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, is to many people its most confusing. They find its strange symbols and images puzzling and mysterious. But it need not be so. The book's very name means a revealing, a way to gain understanding. Its first verse tells us it was written to reveal things which must shortly take place. We've prepared an exciting, eye-opening new booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, to help you understand what will take place in the days ahead. For your free copy, call right now, 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232. Order today.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
In our studio today, we have Darris McNeely, managing editor of World News and Prophecy. World News and Prophecy is a magazine dedicated to exploring current events in light of the prophetic passages of the Bible. Darris, from a biblical viewpoint, is Europe going to play a part in end-time prophecy that leads to the coming of the Messiah?
Well, yes, Gary, it is, most definitely. In the book of Daniel, we have a vision, a description of the time of the end, the ending of this age is set. We read of what is called the King of the North. Now, in biblical terminology, direction is always understood from the point of view of Jerusalem. So we have a king of the north rising from the north, the area, the region north of Jerusalem, and he's coming against what is described as the king of the south. And in this clash, and afterwards, he enters into what is called the Glorious Land, which is well understood to be the Middle East, and especially the, what is called the Holy Land, centering there in and around Jerusalem. And it says, as it goes on there in Daniel 11, that this invasion force is going to plant itself in the glorious Holy Mountain, as it describes there, at the time of the end. And biblical scholars and understanding of what those references are understand that the King of the North was a successor or took over from the area of Rome and is a continuation of that system that was centered in Rome and Europe through the Middle Ages.
Now, if I wanted to go someplace in the Scripture where I could find some specific mentions of Europe or united Europe, where would I go?
Well, to understand Europe and its future from biblical prophecy, Gary, we need to go back to the second chapter of Daniel, where we have a vision, an image actually, that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, dreamed. And in that interpretation, which the prophet Daniel was inspired to give to him, he showed that that image was divided into four systems. Babylon, and with Nebuchadnezzar, would be the head. And there were going to be four systems that were represented in that image from which would unfold through history much of the events, the political events that are going to shape the people of God and the plan of God and impact the world, especially at the time of the coming of the Messiah. Now, those kingdoms are well understood to be identified as Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. And it shows in that image that there was a stone cut out without hands, which smashed the image on its feet with it, where it had 10 toes, and grew to fill the entire earth, which helps us to understand the time setting there. And it's understood that, that those toes represent the Roman system, which has been preserved through various revivals of governmental systems through the ages and will be in existence and in a form at the time of Christ's return. And so Daniel's vision there, as well as what he was also later shown in chapter 7 of Daniel, where he had a more detailed vision of a fourth beast there that was dreadful and terrible, which is also set in the time of the end and would be the one against which Jesus Christ would fight at his second coming. And history and understanding the development of events from that period to our day help us to understand how that ancient system that was engendered by that fourth beast has survived through a series of political, religious combinations that have been centered in and around Rome and Europe in various forms from that day until now.
Now, the two passages you mentioned so far from what is called the Old Testament, are there any New Testament passages or prophecies that shed some light on these older prophecies concerning Europe?
Well, there are. Daniel's prophecies are further elaborated on in the book of Revelation, where John was given this vision toward the close of the first century of the events of the setting in the time, the day of the Lord. And in Revelation 17, we have a picture, a rather strange and bizarre picture of a woman that is riding a beast, an image called a beast there. And this woman is described as mystery, Babylon the Great. She rides a beast, which is a successor to Daniel's fourth beast that we talked about there and the 10 toes of Nebuchadnezzar's dream and that image that he saw there. And as far back as the second century, this woman riding this beast in Revelation 17 has been identified with Rome. Now today, Rome is the seat of the Catholic Church, which has preserved and spread the ancient mystery religion of Babylon and has fostered that in its systems today. And we're going to see this system rise to even greater heights in a union with a political system which has its roots spiritually and even politically in ancient Rome.
From what you're saying, then, these prophecies actually can be related to us today.
Yes, they can, and that's something that's very important for the average person to understand, and also where it begins to get a little bit difficult in relating it and getting people's attention today, because in the United States, America proclaims itself to be a very spiritual nation, yet people don't grasp the false nature of their own religious beliefs, such as they might be. They think of religion in most terms as a benign force. And it's hard for people to see a powerful religious force coming on the scene that can actually strip away liberties and enforce dictums and ideas, along with a very powerful political ruler, which these prophecies in Revelation 13 and Revelation 17 and 18 especially very clearly show. In Revelation 13, we see this powerful religious political entity enforcing a system that is called a mark upon people. And without that mark, people are not going to be able to buy or sell. So we have a description of an economic system that is being forced upon the world by this political religious combination there, and it is going to dominate the world and impact the life of everyone. And that's hard for people to grasp and understand given our current experience, especially in the United States, with a rather benign religious experience.
Good News Radio, news and analysis you don't get anywhere else. Don't go away. We'll be back with more right after these messages.
Human efforts at predicting the future are notoriously inaccurate. Self-proclaimed seers and prophets have been proven wrong time and time again. But there is a sure way to know what the future holds. It's written in advance in the pages of the Bible. We've prepared an exciting, eye-opening new booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, to help you understand what will take place in the days ahead. This 32-page full-color booklet will take you through the major themes of the Book of Revelation, helping you discover how it all fits together. For your free copy, call right now 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.
We've been discussing the coming European superpower with Darris McNeely, managing editor of World News and Prophecy. Now, what does the Bible give us as an indication of the impact a united Europe, a resurrected Roman Empire, will have on the future?
Well, Gary, in Revelation 18 is a description of this system, this united Europe, this revival of the Roman system and its impact. And if I can just read one verse in Revelation 18 and verse 3, I think, it shows us that all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. This economic system is going to encompass all nations. All peoples are going to benefit if they become a part of this system. So it will in turn be a system that is ruthless with those who oppose it. But the point of the scriptures is that it's a system that is going to work. It will bring prosperity for those who go along with it, who take part in it. And the world that we know today is likely going to see a level of development unlike any in the past. We are living in very wealthy, lucrative times today, Gary, but I think it's only the beginning of the power and the luxury that this world is going to see in the future. Today's global world, I think, will grow bigger, more powerful, and wealthy, which these scriptures give us that understanding, and it's going to have a significant impact. Yet, at its height, we also see that God is going to cut it off, and the merchants are going to stand off from this system, this Babylonish economic system, and they're going to mourn and wail because of the loss of income and the impact that has there. So God is going to cut it off, but it will not be before it's had an impact upon all of the world.
Now, if we're going to be looking at Europe in the light of biblical prophecy, what trends and events should we be watching for in our daily news?
Well, I think there are three things that we can look at and understand that's taking place in Europe today with the European community. The first is a developing European defense force. Europe has been talking about developing a force of men upwards of 60,000 in an army in which they could deploy to various parts of the world as a peacekeeper or even to intervene in various crisis situations, giving them the ability to project their force in a way they have not had before as a united political entity. Secondly, I think our listeners should understand the impact and the potential impact of the European currency that is taking place, the euro, which was introduced 2 years ago, but coming January 1st, 2002, when all of the European countries, at least 12 of the current 15 European nations, are going to completely switch over to using the currency of the European common European currency. As things proceed right now, next year we're going to see the disappearance of the venerable German mark and the French franc, and that is those are historic events. If the monetary union is successful, it will be the most significant step toward European unity since the end of World War II. I think third, Gary, is the decline of the power of the United States in light of these other two, and a potential declining influence as Europe, if they put together their own defense force and the impact that will have upon their relationships with the United States. And then, of course, the impact of a common currency on the European continent, on the world money markets, could have a significant impact upon the value of the dollar and its dominant role on the world currency markets that it has enjoyed for years and years. So if we see those other two events take place, then I think that we need to understand that perhaps we may be looking at the twilight of America's role as the single superpower in today's world.
Well, Darris, we never seem to have enough time. You'll have to join us again.
Be glad to.
Some European leaders aren't just working for political unity, but hope to create a military force not just for defense, but to exert European Union influences into far-flung areas of the world. The joint U.S.-European excursion into Kosovo revealed the general reluctance of many European states to play a part in using military force. The combined EU members sent only 50,000 troops into the Balkans when they have almost 2 million men under arms. But the United States is showing some weariness in acting as the world's policeman, especially in Europe. David Palmer from our news desk in Canada has some information on the movement to create a joint European military power.
Gary, the decision to lay the basis for a European rapid reaction force operating independently from NATO is a significant expression of growing differences with the United States. The plan endorsed by the recent Cologne summit of European Union heads of government is aimed at giving the member states the capacity for autonomous action backed up by credible military forces. It has all the hallmarks of a compromise made necessary by the conflicting views of the various European powers. In 1999, Europe's foreign and defense ministers ended a two-day conference in Rome that agreed on the necessity for strengthening Europe's military capabilities. And more recently, newly appointed European Commission President Romano Prodi fielded the idea of a single European army. This was welcomed by France and Germany, but opposed by Britain, epitomizing the conflicting positions within the EU. The Cologne summit declared the EU's determination to foster the restructuring of the European defense industries. The proposals have met with a mixed reaction here in the European press, with some endorsing its historic character despite the limitations, and others condemning it as futile.
Thanks, David. The booklet we're offering on today's program is the Book of Revelation Unveiled. If you've always wanted to understand Revelation, but the last book of the Bible seems to be a jumbled assortment of strange images, then this 32-page full-color booklet is important for you. As is all literature offered on Good News Radio, the Book of Revelation Unveiled is free of charge. All you have to do is call 1-800-966-9232. 1-800-966-9232. Hey, even the call is free. The events in Europe are following an historical pattern, an attempt to unite the Spanish and Italians, Germans and Slavs, French and Scandinavians into one empire. The prophet Daniel was given divine inspiration to tell the meaning of a dream. In Daniel chapter 2, the prophet tells of four successive empires, one that will be ruling at the time of the coming of the Messiah to establish God's kingdom on the earth. The first empire was Babylon, the fourth none other than the Roman Empire. In the book of Revelation, there is a prophecy about a ruling empire at the time before Christ's return. It's called Babylon, not because it is ruled from Babylon in modern-day Iraq, but because the end-time resurrected Roman Empire is simply an extension of the ancient dream to unite all mankind under one world government. This passage tells us of the future of this empire and gives a warning to the people of God. The dreams of Julius Caesar, Justinian, the Holy Roman Empire of the Middle Ages, of Mussolini, will be revived and end in disaster. Christians must be very careful about interpreting prophecy. It can be very heady stuff. Prophecy was given by God to inspire us and to give us hope for the future. Our faith must be in Him, and our lives must be dedicated to doing His will. Why were you born? There's a difference between grasping your future and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
The book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, is to many people its most confusing. They find its strange symbols and images puzzling and mysterious. But it need not be so. The book's very name means a revealing, a way to gain understanding. Its first verse tells us it was written to reveal things which must shortly take place. We've prepared an exciting, eye-opening new booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, to help you understand what will take place in the days ahead. For your free copy, call right now, 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232. Order today.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.